Good afternoon. I'm going to talk today about variations in the diagnosis and quality of care for pain by primary care physicians. And this is presenting results of an experiment. About myself, I don't have any disclosures. I'm currently a research scientist and epidemiologist at New England Research Institutes, which is in Watertown, Mass., about a suburb from here, which you probably unfortunately have all heard of by now. I have a lot of slides, so I'm going to try to go quickly through some of them. But this study I'm presenting today was about pain, and chronic pain in the U.S. is a big problem. Costs a lot of money, and about 100 million people are affected. And in 2011, the Institute of Medicine published a report specifically on pain and the need for better pain treatment. The problem with the scenario, however, is that there's an incomplete understanding of pain pathology, and there's potential toxicity of some pain medications that are common, like NSAIDs, and then there's the risk of abuse and diversion of other pain medications that are stronger, such as opioids. A common condition for pain is knee osteoarthritis. And in 2012, the American College of Rheumatology came out with some recommendations, but there's no hardcore guidelines. And the recommendations were basically that physical exercise and weight loss are important, but there was no recommendations available for some of the stronger acting medications. Now, these limited guidelines may be a source of variation for pain treatment. And other studies previously have shown repeatedly that women, minority groups, there's just differential treatment for pain and under-treatment for pain often. And one would think where there are recommendations, there are minimal disparities. And so one of our questions was, is this the case? And if not, what is the root of the disparities? Is it something about the patient? Or is it something about the physician or the organization they're working in? And there are observational studies that collect data and can be very good at trying to answer some of these questions. But one of the drawbacks of them is that a lot of these factors we're interested in untangling are really highly intertwined, and it's really hard to separate them. And so what we've done in my group is conducted an experiment here, a factorial experiment, to answer a couple questions on this quality of care regarding advice for pain conditions vary by patient or provider characteristics. And we define quality of care here as clinically appropriate actions based on current society recommendations. So this is an experiment, and actually the subjects here are physicians. So we recruited 192 physicians from a few different states, from lists of licensed physicians, and we recruited them so that we would have balance by gender and by experience, which we defined as years of graduation since medical school. The intervention here was actually for them to observe a patient, and this was a videotaped patient. And the patients, here's an example of what they look like. So the same actor or actress was used to represent a higher socioeconomic level versus a lower level, and they varied by race, ethnicity, to be Hispanic, African American, or white, by gender, et cetera. And there were two different pain conditions presented. So each physician saw a sciatica patient and a knee osteoarthritis patient. Then the physicians completed questionnaires and answered surveys, and we ran some analyses. So the sciatica patient was actually an undiagnosed pain patient, somebody coming in presenting with some symptoms. And the knee osteoarthritis patient was previously diagnosed but really asking for help because they just weren't getting pain comfort. And just so you know, as I move ahead, for either patient, an MRI was not appropriate. It was not necessary at that point in time. And narcotics were not appropriate because their occupations involved driving. So either they were a bus driver or a traveling businessman. So the physicians that participated were generally diverse. This is kind of their characteristics right here. And most of them, the good news was most of them diagnosed sciatica for the sciatica pain patient. One of the first things we wanted to know is, will they figure out what this pain patient has? And that was good. 94% of them did that. One of the most interesting findings we did find was regarding physician experience. So physician experience, as I said, was one of the factors in the experiment. So they were balanced by, we had equal groups of more and less experienced physicians. And so these associations that we see here are unlikely to be due to some unknown confounding factor. And what we found was that physicians with less experience or more recently graduated were more likely to adhered to the recommendations for exercise advice. And they were also more likely, in some cases for sciatica, for example, to adhere to the recommendation for physical therapy and weight loss, although weight loss wasn't statistically significant. The other things that we looked at here were test ordering. And in this case, the more recently graduated physicians were more likely to prescribe NSAIDs, which was appropriate. And the other differences weren't statistically significant except for the year analysis and basic lab work, which is more common among the more experienced physicians. And here is, so the previous results were for sciatica, so these are for the knee osteoarthritis. And it was kind of a similar scenario, except X-ray actually was more commonly mentioned among physicians who were more recently graduated. The other factor for physician side was gender, and we actually saw no differences by gender, so male and females were acting the same way. And then we looked at some of the other organizational type of things, and this is just what the physicians reported. So physicians who reported working in an organization that emphasized quality of care were actually more likely to provide lifestyle advice. But there were no other associations with other workplace culture values, and this is all based on a validated scale for assessing workplace culture for physicians. Other things we found were ordering of tests differed a little bit by emphasis on business decisions and profit or nonprofit status. And then one thing I'll just hint at here, but I know one of my fellow speakers is going to talk about it later, is about MRI ordering. So for, as I said, neither patient would require an MRI at that point in time based on their presentation, but interestingly enough, a third of the physicians would order an MRI for the sciatica patient. And it was kind of borderline statistically significant, but for the osteoarthritis patient, that difference based on whether or not the physician reported that he or she generally uses guidelines, society guidelines, was an association there with the MRI, where if they said they don't use the guidelines, they were a little bit more likely to provide the MRI for the osteoarthritis patient. The patient factors, as the experiment was conducted, were race, gender, and the socioeconomic status, which is really by occupation. And there was actually interesting findings for race, that there was actually no impact on the sciatica patient, but for the knee osteoarthritis patient, whites were more likely to receive narcotics, and that didn't depend on their occupation or their gender at all. And for type of medication prescribed, there was also an interesting result here, but this was actually for the sciatica patient, it was SES rather than socioeconomic status rather than race. So it was less frequently that they would have received narcotics for sciatica if they were lower socioeconomic status, and more frequently would receive NSAIDs. And then there were no effects of socioeconomic status on these other factors here, X-ray, MRI, exercise, or referrals. So overall, we observed considerable variation in decision-making for painful conditions, but little of that variation was explained by the patient factors. And the two things that most consistently seemed to affect the quality of the decisions were physicians' years in practice and a little bit on the organizational emphasis on quality of care. So it's unclear now, is that difference by physician experience something about medical training, or are they just, are the newer physicians more aware of recommendations? Are they more willing to follow recommendations? As I mentioned before, exercise currently is the only strong recommendation for knee osteoarthritis, and for low back pain, that advice to remain active is relatively new. 10, 20 years ago, that wasn't common advice. The implications here, I think, would be that we want to, find out what would happen if there are actual stringent guidelines that would apply to all patients. Would these differences still exist, or would the generalizability of this to other situations is something we'd want to look at in the future. And from the finding regarding physician experience, I think it kind of points to the need to kind of just disseminate or reinforce the recommendations that are out there. So any questions? I don't know if there's time or... Yep.
How did you define an organizational emphasis on quality care? Like patients that are not going home, or what did you use?
So there's actually a scale called the Kurzinski scale that's the continuous measure. So it's not that like the yes they have quality or no they don't. So providing those results, it was just kind of whether or not the association was significant with that with the score. So it's hard to interpret what the score actually means. So it's something that we can look at. Yeah, I can give you the reference later.
Oh,
thank you.
And I hope you come back. I noticed when you were talking, oftentimes we think disparities, and we think that what racial ethnic minorities are receiving is less than what we want them to, but actually your results are suggesting that it's kind of going the opposite way, and that whites are getting more inappropriate care in terms of being prescribed more narcotics, when narcotics are actually not recommended for treatment. Mm-hmm.
No, that's what we found, and I think part of that may be for these pain conditions, the perception that narcotics can be misused or abused. So it's possible that physicians were, you know, going beyond their, you know, thinking to think that, well, there's higher potential for misuse for certain patients versus other patients, and so that may be one factor that's going on there. So they may think that NSAIDs are safer, less likely to be misused or off, you know, that sort of thing. So that's one possible.
Did you ask them their perceptions of what the cost is for some of these treatments? For instance, physical therapy, they recommend physical therapy. There's out-of-pocket payments that the patients have to pay. Do you have any sort of feedback as to why they made the decisions they did?
Well, there was actually a qualitative sub-study that went along with this, and I'm not presenting that today, so I don't know. I didn't actually analyze that myself, so I'm not sure what themes came up most often, but I know one of my colleagues has worked on that, and I think papers are in progress. But the issue of the cost, I think the assumption that all of these were employed, fully employed, that we didn't have healthcare costs as an issue here. So we're not certain if that may have been something in the physician's head, thinking that somebody may be less likely to be able to pay for some sort of medication or not. Sure.
Actually, this is very much along the same lines. Did you have an opportunity to circle back and ask why they, if they felt justified making the decision that they did, and how, you know, why so?
Yeah, I think that's really the next step. When you get this kind of quantitative data, you just want to be able to understand it. And the best way to do that, I think, is really just to say what was going on in your head. And we did ask open-ended questions, so I can hopefully those – I'm not sure where that is in the publication process, if it's been presented yet. But the author's name is probably going to be Lisa Welch, if you want to put a PubMed search query alert out for her. Welch, yeah, one of my colleagues at NARI. Thank you.